Well, greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be here. It's a beautiful Lord's Day. It's in that name that we gather, that name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. We're gathered again in the house of God. I was thinking this morning. We're gathered in a way that we have never gathered before, and probably won't never gather like this again, just like this perfectly. We were again reminded in the past week and a half of those realities. A sister in our midst, this past into eternity. Never again will we gather with her on this side. It's a reality. But God calls us to go on and gather again, and it's fitting for us to do that, and it's a blessing to gather. And so every day, when we think of it in that terms, every day is an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to remain faithful and to remain in a place where we can be ready to depart at any given notice. Allowing these events of life, allowing every event of life and that happens to mold and shape us for our eternal home. Just some thoughts I was having this morning, thinking of just gathering with the saints, gathering with God's children again, gathering and just an opportunity to worship and hear the beautiful truths that we heard. And our desire is that there would be a continuation of that in the next 40 minutes or so of thought. So it would be a continuation of truth that would encourage us to look upward and press onward. So may we could rise together for a word of prayer. Yes, Father in heaven, this morning as we gather in this way, Lord, we come before you and we turn our cups upward to you, Father, and we recognize the need. We have a great need, Lord, that you come and you meet with us this day. We thank you for doing that already. Thank you for those truths that we heard this morning, Lord, of the eternal truths that will lead us and guide us and continue to shed light upon our path, Father. Thank you for that. We pray that you continue to be here and you would take a few thoughts that we have here and you would multiply them. And we could together be strengthened, encouraged to look to you to further your kingdom. And that more souls would be drawn into your kingdom, Lord, before you return. Father, I just pray today that you would be in our midst, that you would move away any hindering spirit, Lord, that would like to snatch the word, the precious word, away from our hearts. That you could do the work that you intend to do, even in my own heart and all of us together. That you would do the work that's needed to further prepare us and help us to be more like you and shine in your image. Lord, we love you this morning. We ask for your guiding hand in our congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I would like to do a continuation in the book of Colossians. I started some time ago. It seems like that is that's a little bit of a struggle sometimes if you start and then it goes a month and then you have to think about what all we shared. So I thought we'll do a little bit of a recap of what we talked about. We talked about, and the first part of Colossians chapter 1 was the divine power of God. We talked about understanding the history of this book. Makes a difference how we interpret these scriptures. Just some backdrop. We talked about in this history, there was a root problem. They were combined in Jewish observances and pagan speculation. Those are two things. And then we saw that Paul in this letter has a burden and a desire for the best corrective formula is to get a firm grip on Jesus Christ. And that was a few thoughts Knowing the grace of God and bearing fruit, some of the thoughts that we shared. Being strong in the grace of God, knowing the Jesus of the Bible refutes these false ideas that were coming into the Colossian church. Love in the Spirit, the knowledge of His will, some of the things that we talked about last time. And then we spoke at the end of the last message, we spoke of being delivered from the power of darkness. And so this morning I would like to start up there just a little bit. It feels like I kind of rushed through from verse 12 to 14. Just kind of read those verses the last time. And so I have a few thoughts. I'd like to just start on verse 12 and just recap a little bit of what we shared last time, and then starting in verse 15 down through the end, if the Lord provides time. So verse 12 there, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I think we shared that there were just a few verses that we hear. They're very familiar. But here the meaning is, the heading in this portion of Scripture, this starts in verse 12, and it goes all the way down to verse 19 or 20, probably 20. And then it kind of changes a little gear in verse 21. This is kind of how I have it broke up. It could be broken up differently, but be interesting to hear feedback and hear some of your thoughts. It was a blessing last time to hear some thoughts of what you're thinking through these verses. But anyway, we'll try to keep going. They're in the thought where He hath delivered us. One of the things that we want to look at from verse 12 to 20 is there's a provision of God. There's a provision of God that just stands. And it stands when every generation comes and goes off the scene. God's provision stands without man. But we cannot help but be behooved or be encouraged. It was made for man. And that's what gives us the inspiration. He just didn't make that so we could all be held at a distance. This provision was made without man, but it was made for man. And that's a powerful truth. That's a blessing. The provision of God was made for man. So when we look at some of those provisions, those positions that God has positioned that never will change, this is for the believer also. This is for the one that has turned his eye toward Jesus Christ. We'll look at that through this message, Lord willing. Paul spoke that Jesus hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This simply means He has invested eternal strength to man to walk out of some of the most gripping things that grip our life. This is deliverance. You know, there's some of us, all of us could give testimony of gripping things that grip us and drag us down. This deliverance that Jesus offers is the only deliverance that can deliver us out of this gripping hand. And for that we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then we spoke some of the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And as I thought of that, I thought, I think one of the things I was sharing is, at the end it talks about even the forgiveness of sin. And the beautiful truths of deliverance and redemption through His blood. And at the end He said, and even all your sins are forgiven. And that must be compelling. If you have ever been a sinner in the eyes of God, many times that's the struggle. Man is pretty good in their own eyes. And man is just, we have it all together. But when redemption and deliverance and forgiveness comes into the heart of a man that has forsaken his own way, What that man is bound to do is say, praise the Lord. Has to do that. It's the very fabric of eternity. And so that was just a little bit of recap on some of those verses. The message I'd like to, the title of the message today would be, I would like to title it, Be Ye Reconciled. Be Ye Reconciled. And so, even the forgiveness of sin. Think of a few points here. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. He, Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And He says in that same scripture, these things. I wonder sometimes, I've heard this as a little boy, and many of you have. Growing up, we hear these verses. But I was inspired again. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And so the value of speaking these things and exhorting is the only thing that we do. We don't have another set of words to speak. It's the inerrant Word of God. We just speak it again, and it brings about the life that we all need and all desire. Speak it again. So when you look at the word forgiveness, just a few verses there that were a blessing. In Psalms chapter 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thine diseases. Psalms 130 in verse 4, it says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And he says in Acts 13:38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And in Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And then First John 1:9, a very familiar verse, is those are positional. Then He says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the forgiveness is if, but the forgiveness is positioned. It's there forever. God will forgive anyone that if he confesses and comes. And so that was a blessing. Okay, in verse 15, we'll keep going. Verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We'll stop reading there for now in verse 20. Think of Jesus being the image of the invisible God. We're still talking about the provision of God there that stands. The invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You know, Jesus is not this morning just an additive to another list of Jesuses that we live in. Many ways they're going to get there. It's a difficult idea that brings a lot of confusion. Jesus is the exact expression of the Godhead. Jesus. So no man hath seen God ever. The Bible says that. But he has given the expression of God through Jesus, the exact expression of Godhead. So it is a blessing to keep this in mind. that God did not let us blind. We can never say we don't know who God is. We can really never say that. Maybe we've had bad experiences, but we can really never say who is God. Because he was Jesus Christ in the flesh. And we can read about him, and we know the outline. We know what happens. We know what happened to Jesus. He was in the flesh, and he come down and he lived among men. And he lived 100% perfect. That's God. In 1 Timothy, the reason it's interesting for me is in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God? So if we were to ask for a raise of hands, did anybody ever see God this morning in this room? Like the God of the Bible, our God that we serve. No one would raise their hand very likely. But if we would ask, how many of us had an encounter with Jesus? I would hope that many of us would raise our hands. So we have come in contact with God. Because Jesus isn't a substitution that's less powerful, that lets us get by with something. Jesus is the exact expression of God. That was a blessing for me to think about that. Jesus is our God. He's our Lord. In 1 Timothy 1:17, it says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." 1 Timothy 6, another verse, some more verses. Verse 14 and 15. We'll read some of those verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. 16. It says, 14, that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. It does seem like there's a glimpse of God here, and I would just like to, when I was thinking of the glimpse of God, is, you know, we meet people sometimes, and we want to be like Jesus, and it's important for us to aspire to be like Jesus, because it draws others to Jesus. But most of the way Jesus is going to show himself today, most of the way is through his word. So when we open up his word, remember that is Jesus speaking to us. It's the word of God. It's God speaking to us. And he expresses himself through the church, through the brothers and sisters. And so that's why we aspire to be that very fabric of Jesus. Because we desire to be like Jesus as we sang that song. We desire to be like Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 36 and 37, Jesus said, But I have greater witnesses than that of John, for the works which your Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Again, the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. And Jesus is saying, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And then again, there's an expression of Jesus coming out here, that he is the expressed image of God. And really this morning, that's all we have. Is that contenting? Is that satisfying? Because I believe it's something fair to say cautiously, but there is a running after Jesus sometimes that is a discontentedness, that we try to find something that will never be found. Jesus is the expressed image of God. Jesus is contenting. He causes us to be content this morning. He causes us to be satisfied. Jesus fulfills every need. We have in this book We have in this book, the Bible, this morning, a testimony of different ones that saw Jesus and they wrote about it. And then we have those that were with those that saw him and watched him ascend into heaven and they wrote about it. And here are we receiving from those that saw them, saw him, heard from those that saw him. This is where we're at. Is that contenting to us? Is that okay? Or do we want to find something more? It is a blessing. It's contenting this morning. It's okay. We believe this by faith. It's the provision of God that we believe by faith for us as believers. In verse 16, we read there, we see very clearly here that in the 16 on, there's a lot of all things. If you take some time, you look at the word all in there. There is a... He controls all things. Created... Things that are created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, think of verse 17, and he says, and he is before all things. This is again Jesus, and by him all things consist. And I had to think of Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, is before. He is the front of anything. He's in the front of anything. And then he's also the consistence of everything. He made up everything. So then again, it entails that all. So everything we see is by him. That should take care of the pride of men's hearts. You know, when we stand up and we really are something, the very breath that we give, that comes in and out of our chest, is given by him. Otherwise, we would just fall in a pile. It's by him that we live and breathe and have our being. In verse 20, as we continue in these all things of God, we would believe that. I know that, I don't know if anyone would say we don't believe that. We believe that. We continue in all things of God. I want to look at verse 20. You see, verse 20, it says, I and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then where we want to start is a little bit of the burden of my message is, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. How did this happen? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We'll stop there. So if a man or a woman today doesn't reconcile, if he doesn't today, if there's no reconciliation happening today in the life of men and women, it is of a truth that one day they will reconcile. It is of a truth that one day you will be forced to reconcile to the Creator. You and I will be forced. So wouldn't it behoove us today to be willing today to reconcile to Jesus? Just give it up. Whatever, you know, sometimes there's a grip. We have a hold of something in life. And we could put a list to it. And, you know, sometimes it's later on, I'd like to get a little bit more practical of maybe what some of those things can be. And so we'd like to look at that. Give up what we're holding on to. You know, animals sometimes will stick their paws in a jar to grab a hold of something. And they'll live with that jar around their hand all their life because they won't let go of it. That's how sin does. That's how it works. And you just about can't convince them that if you just let go of it, you know, maybe you can even have the treat that's in there. We'll get it out for you. But sometimes that is so deceiving. We hold on to that which we're going to lose anyway. We hold on to that which we're going to lose anyway. The reality is, some of these truths, as I looked at some of these verses, they carry so much more weight than we can ever put value to. And again, we were encouraged to speak and exhort and teach these things to our own hearts and each other. So we will try to today, in a small way, some practical ways to preach about this, the mystery that has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And this mystery is, somebody want to finish it? You say it, brother? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the greatest truth to counterfeit false doctrine, some of these things that the Colossians were facing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. It seems simple, but it is that simple. Because Christ has a pattern. He has a life. And he is the God of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word reconcile means this morning to go back into union and fellowship. The affections which have been alienated. Call back into a union. The Bible says that we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. There's much reconciliation attempting to happen at times. You know, when you have a business squabble, when you have a something that needs to be reconciled, you can get that done, and sometimes that can be done with different ideas, and somebody comes out a little better on top than another. But this reconciliation today has one term. It must be on the Lord's terms. It must be. There is no other reconciliation. Otherwise, it's just a counterfeit. The meaning of it is to bring to quiet submission. A reconciliation to Christ brings a quiet submission to us as individuals. Excuse me. The other word is content with. To be content with Christ. In order to be reconciled, we need to come to an agreement or suitableness, followed by actions. This is the great plan of God. The great plan of God. And as we shared earlier, and it is for us. It is for man. It is not out there where you cannot touch it. No matter how bad you maybe think in your mind, I know how the devil sometimes, I'm just about as bad as nobody knows my life. It's a lie this morning. No matter how bad life is, it's there. God is pressing in. No matter how many years we press against, God presses in. But there's also an equal truth to this reconciliation. An equal truth this morning to this reconciliation is, and it's out there. It can affect us. Men desire to be reconciled or claim they are reconciled, still going their own way. And this is something to think about. But it's still not possible. It's impossible. Because Jesus will not come out of the fabric of their lives. It will be my own way. And our own way leads us to destruction every time. I am ashamed of those things in my own life. It leads us to destruction. For a man that is looking away in disagreement or enmity against the very Creator that holds everything in place, that very man sometimes tries hard to convince himself that he's reconciled. But it doesn't work that way. And always remember, it's never on the fault of the reconciler because it's all done. The reconciler has done it. But rather, it's man's great sin of unbelief and simply going our own way that hinders us from being reconciled. I was thinking of Jesus there in verse 22. There's some verses in the Amplified. I'd like to read some of those verses. Verse 20, I'm going to read a few of those verses in 22 20:21 and 22 in the Amplified, it says, "For it pleased the Father in all the fullness of deity, the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes to dwell permanently." He says, "And in him, the Son, and through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven." And it says in verse 21, "And although you, who were at one time estranged and alienated and hostile-minded toward him, participating in evil things, yet Christ hath now reconciled to God." And it's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing. It's humbling. If you were found yourself hostile toward God in your mind, or if you find yourself like that today, you need to be reconciled to God. You and I need to be reconciled to God. Not having a hostile mind toward him, being content, having a quiet peace, resigned to God, resigned to Jesus. Some verses in the Amplified that was a blessing for me to look over. You know, this morning, it doesn't matter how long. The beauty of this was an inspiration. And may this do that for all of us. Do you ever feel like giving up in life with something? I think most of us all face that, especially with time. Feel like giving up. But the beauty of this, the inspiration from God's Word, is that no matter how long men, certain men or a group of men or even people resist this and do not come to God, it can be a month, it can be a few years, and sometimes it can be an entire lifetime where people just resist this reconciliation. But the message still comes the same from generation to generation. Be ye reconciled to God. It is a little harder as men get older. I know that. It seems like we become entrenched in our ways. That's why it's important. We'll share a little bit earlier. As young people, I have a burden on my heart for young men and young women, primarily from my own testimony, my own example, my own life. Nothing in contradiction to your lives. But it's important to do this young, to reconcile to God and yield to him. So with that in mind, was thinking, there comes questions in our mind, I'm sure. So I was thinking of questions in my own life that I have at times. How can we be reconciled in this situation? You know, maybe you're an unbeliever and you don't know how this is going to go. Maybe you are a Christian. You have given your life to God and you're 5-10 years in, and there's a situation that you know there must be some reconciliation to God and to my fellow man. So that question sometimes is asked, and we ask ourselves, how does this work? How does this work? And I was thinking, it would just be so nice that it would just that we could just put out a 10-step formula that just works. But I had some thoughts that I'd like to share. It seems like, I thought, well, maybe these seem so simple. But I believe that it is simple. And so it seems like some of the thoughts that we had, like no matter how the situation looks around us, it seems like one significant thing that needs to take place is we need to change our point of view. Like, see, we're viewing something, and we need to change our view. We need to turn away of what we're looking at. We need to turn away from it and look at it the way the Lord wants us to look at it. Or one could say we could take our eyes off of one thing and place it on another. Because all of us have our eyes set on something. And it's a good thing, because we're called to set our eyes like a flint. Set them toward our celestial city, or our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not called to take our eyes off of that as Christians. But I'm talking about some realities that happen. Set our eyes on something. Or one could say we could take our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and turn to the Word of God and turn our eyes to the Lord. Sometimes that makes a real mess out of things, and in our circumstances, they are not always what we order. Because the question comes, well, how can I be reconciled, yet I'm traveling through this life? And so I had to think of this morning, that when we change our mind, the moment we change our mind in this beautiful plan of God, the moment we change our mind, we're 100% reconciled. That has a lot of disclaimers. But when you change your mind, you say, I'm going this way. I was looking that way, now I'm looking this way. And you're reconciled to God. God is pulling. God is taking a hold of you. He was trying then, but you were pushing away with a hostile mind. And this way is a hard road, but that way is a lot harder. This way is hard, that way is a lot harder. Because God is still pulling, but here God's pulling, but you're going with Him. It was some practical thoughts. Think about that. And I know that yet at that moment when a man becomes a Christian, and the moments after, we find ourselves very needy. So we turn and we're walking toward Him and we're walking with Him. And I had to think of an apple that comes out of a bud of a tree. It's an apple indeed. And that has been the confusion many times. It must be an apple from a bud. It cannot be a peach telling everybody they're an apple and they're going an opposite way. That's the counterfeit of this reconciliation. We must be what God, we must be becoming what God is drawing us to and taking us to. But it's that pattern that reconciles us continually. This truth, to think, is a scarce truth. It's that only the Christians experience. The scarce truth of reconciling our entire being, that He can have full control of us. Can the Lord of glory have full control of my life this morning? Your life? Does He have that liberty? If He doesn't, I think there's a need of some reconciliation, because He has our best in mind. He will never leave us nor forsake us, the Scripture teaches us. Another thought was, in order to be reconciled to someone, there must be an authority structure. I know that can be that's a scary word sometimes. There must be an authority structure. We can never reconcile on our own terms, but his terms all the way. And so when I was thinking of these things, we want to look at some ways that we think, some very practical ways. Because very likely, as we're traveling through life, there may be someone that needs to be reconciled to Jesus here this morning. And may Satan lose his grip on your life this morning. May he just lose his grip, and may you just come and be reconciled to Jesus. But there may be some that we need a husband and a wife reconciliation. That's why we talk about Jesus first. Maybe we need children and parents reconciliation. It might not be big bad things, but it's just a riffle of roughness. God has better ways for us. He does. He has it for me. I see those needs in my life. But he's for us. He wants us to be reconciled unto Him and to one another. Children to parents and parents to children. There may be those needs. We won't touch on some of those. It's just some practical thoughts. Well, look at some ways we think to be reconciled to our Maker. And you never can divide it. It seems like as you go through the Scriptures, to be reconciled to your Maker, to Jesus Christ, and then divide it from our fellow man, it's not possible. It seems like it's a thread through the entire Bible. We love to be reconciled to Jesus, but then we have all these men to deal with. I just appreciate that, because it helps us to go. It helps us to go on. So we could say, it seems so simple this morning, but yet it's very true. Some practical ways that we think. that keep us, I think, from being reconciled. Whether we're not a Christian this morning or whether we are a Christian and we're just holding on for dear life and something. I want us to think about this. The first thought I had was personal responsibility. Personal responsibility was the problem that started in the garden. And many of us know that story of Adam and Eve. Taking personal responsibility for our life. First, the first point of personal responsibility is for our own life. And then for the life of our families and and those extended. To take personal responsibility. You know, for an example of that thinking pattern, sometimes there can be a failure of sin or a simple blunder. There can be a blunder. You make a mistake. And the most counterproductive thing that man does is to start making excuses. It's a cancer of the worst kind. Make excuses, because when we start making those excuses, at the end of those excuses, you know what it actually is saying? I just want to think, just help me to think what we're saying. You know what it's saying? If it wouldn't be for this or that or them people, I could be a better person. That's what it's actually saying. And so when you make it really big, it lets us see how foolish it is. And there's no reconciliation in that. It never happens. No matter how right you and I think we are, it never happens. The rift keeps happening. We end up saying that. I know no one would like to say that in words, but I just try to express a thought that finishes itself. No one would like to say that in words, that I could be a better Christian if I wouldn't have these people that I'm with. The most productive way to think, whatever happens in life, God is trying to reconcile my life into Him in another area that I don't know about. I had to think of something. Maybe it's an area of our reputation that we're trying so hard to protect. You know, just think about how hard man tries to protect a reputation that the very gift of God he has, the very fabric of his makeup, is given to him by Jesus. It seems foolish, but it's very real. It's very very real things. Think of our self-image. Maybe that matters to younger ones more than older ones, but I sometimes think it matters to some of us too much. Self-image. Does it matter how I really look? Think about if it matters so much how I look. You know, most of the time that's around men. And if we could turn that to see, how do I really look before you, God? How do I really act before you? It won't make you look bad and act ruthless around men. It'll help you to become a quiet, respectful, peaceful, contented brother and sister, young person, because you care what Christ thinks of you. And then another one, maybe secretly we want people to see me and see what I can do. Secretly. Those are just points of thinking that are direct stoppers to be reconciled to God. God is not going to share those things. He doesn't condemn anyone, but he won't share it with that. He has to find somewhere else to give glory and a work in a person's life. I said to think of those are three points. There could be many more. You can add and take those away. I had to think of that this morning. I thought maybe we should just remind us together that as soon as we start thinking that we really did something, we really got something going here. We got something together. Be sure this morning that someone has done it already, and they've probably done it a little bit better than you. You know, I don't want that to sound negative. But it's just a reality. It's just a reality. Just to help us to understand that the Bible says that whatsoever you do, do all to the honor and glory of the Lord. That the Lord Jesus may receive honor and glory. So the message is here is, therefore keep doing and saying for this purpose. It's not just, well, make sure I don't do anything so I don't get caught in this. No, live godly. Dress modestly. Live holy for the glory of God. Be unashamed of that. But those are all things that are on battlefronts at times. Some of the reasons I was thinking of this practical point as I was reading in this, as I spent some time reading through the book, this book of Colossians, it seemed like maybe just a small glimpse and barely a glimpse of the burden of Paul, the heart of the Apostle Paul at the end of this chapter here. Before that, I just want us to think about what all those things that I shared. I want us to remember something, though. Every perfect gift comes down from above. So if you're invested, you and I have, every one of us have a beautiful character that God wants to use and use as a vessel. And continue to do that for His honor and glory is the only way. But His desire is that He's looking for vessels like that where He can just pour out His blessings. And that He could use those vessels to bring men back to Him and bring honor and glory to His name. So when we look at that, think of that. I had to think along those lines a little bit. When God spoke to Abraham, we think of the Apostle Paul. We've seen a deep burden in his life at the end, all through his life. But at the end of this chapter one, seemed like it spoke to my own heart. We've seen a burden of a man that cared for nothing more. Then the God of heaven would receive all the glory and honor. And may that be the inspiration that we would let with each other today. Because if we continue in the faith, if you start in verse 23, there is that word if again. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. This continuation of faith in the Strong's, it says it's a continuation in the truthfulness of God or Jesus Christ. It's a continuation of the reliance on Jesus Christ for our salvation. And it's also a continuation of a moral truth, a moral conviction of truth, not just truth, a moral conviction of truth. And then in parentheses, which is your faith. A moral conviction of truth, which is your faith. And as I thought of that, does your faith and my faith cause us to take personal responsibility for our life? A faith that is responsible to the faithful Creator. And so in here I'd like to share a little bit of some of the thoughts I have for young men. I was thinking there's a lot of young men, some are not here today, but there's a lot of young men from age 15 to 25 here. So I was thinking about generations and faith, the continuation of this faith. You know, I understand the temptations that you face. I face these. I understand these temptations from time to time. You know what they go like? This is how they go. And if I'm wrong, you can correct me later. This is how these temptations go. Well, you know, I'm just 15, or I'm just 17, or I'm only 19, or I'm just 25. You know, someday I'll dig in a little bit more. Someday I'll be a little bit more committed. But, you know, for now, I'm just going to live. You know, by the way, I'm just young one time. I know all about those temptations. Later on, someday I will dig just a little bit deeper. Someday I'll make a little bit more commitment. Also remember the scriptures that says today is the day of salvation. Today. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope. Just think of a moral conviction of truth
When is a better time for that to start at 14, 15, 16, 17? A moral conviction of truth. No, not your daddy or your grandpa or the ministry, not their shirt tails and just dragging along, but a moral conviction where you will set your own hand to the plow with a truth, with a truthful conviction of what you really desire, going that way, what you really desire. Yet you'll make some blunders, but God knows that, and so does parents. We're pressing toward that way. We're not pressing that way. Young men or women, share your dreams and visions with your parents or someone in authority, someone older than you. Share those dreams because they matter. Because they matter. It's what you have a hold of. It's what you're looking for. Anything in life. Think of jobs. Think of partners. My mind just goes to different things. Think of everything practical in life because it really matters. Fashioned. Young men, young women, those age brackets. Now this is for all of us, older the same. We would fashion ourselves after the faith of Abraham, as the brother was sharing earlier. That the faith, that we would be those of the faith with Abraham, not of Abraham, but we have the same faith that Abraham had. So what for faith did Abraham had? So if there was ever a man that an Old Testament man that is inspiring, you read the story of Abraham. Everywhere he went, he worshiped God. I believe the Bible is pretty clear. Everywhere he went, he set up an altar because he was convinced it was his only lifeline. It was the only thing he had in life, was God. And so therefore, he wouldn't fight with Lot. He wouldn't do it. He said, if you go there, I'll go here. Amen. And God was just right with Abraham. And we heard he also wasn't a perfect man, but that's not the point. The point was he was plodding forward. He never quit. Abraham was a man of personal responsibility. And you know where it came through? It came through in his moral conviction of truth. This was the whole testimony of his life. The end result of Abraham's faith was more faith, more generations of faith. It's still going on today. It's still going on today. The end results of Lot's life is two heathen nations. Just a lot of stuff, a lot of things could be looked into there. Two heathen nations because there was no vision. There was a walking out. I believe Lot and Abraham walked together for some time. They did. They experienced the good things of God for some time, but Lot lost hold of things. Lost his family. And the testimony was two heathen nations. So I was thinking of Abraham and Lot. Now this morning, I want us to think of the group of brothers and sisters at Allen County Christian Fellowship. And it's continuation of faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away. This, not just the fellowship enlarged, but each family personally. God cares deeply for each family. And as I thought of these things, I thought of, you know, young people. You have a beautiful opportunity. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to get to know you. And so when I saw these things this morning, these things come to my mind because of my own life. You know, from the age 13 and 19 in my own life was wasted. And it behooves me with pain that I wish I wouldn't have to talk about. I wasted myself. All I thought about is how I looked and what other people thought of me. With a desire to be big. You know, I make myself vulnerable. But it's foolishness. It brought me nothing but... And most every one of us could raise our hands. It brings nothing but pain and destruction. You know, instead of being a servant of Jesus Christ, my Lord, because He was my Lord, I was just walking away from Him. Instead of being a servant of Jesus Christ, my Lord, in serving my parents in the home, holding up the hands of brothers and sisters, picking up feeble hands. I did nothing but drag people down because I wanted my own way. So these things, my desire is that they would not be condemning. But if you have a father and you have a grandfather, go pick his hands up. Don't drag him down. Especially if he's in the faith. Others as well. Be a blessing to people. Be a blessing, young men and women, to the people before you. Pick their hands up. Don't drag them down. In saying that, it's a great joy to see all these young men in our midst. You know, I had to think, it's a blessing. The goal today is to strengthen your faith. My goal is not to discourage you. I had to think of, in the past week or so, we had these calls and needs that need to be fulfilled, and boom, they were serving. People were there. Bless God for that. That path is the path. There isn't another path. That's the path to be on. Yes, I'll help you, Dad. I'll help you, brother. It's servanthood. It's serving Jesus Christ. Helping where you can. There isn't anything better than that. Nothing better than that. It's a blessing. I see that. So all these things I shared was endeavoring to be an encouragement. I had to think. That was from age 15 to 25. The reason I thought of that is because it's a generation that we need faith, that God would call to faithfulness. And that goes for us. That goes for those before us. That we would remain faithful. And to think of this faithfulness this morning. This is the simplicity of the faith. Serve where you can and do what you can. And God is pleased. But the note of that is not caring what the world thinks of you. That will bring about a deliverance in you and I's life that we many times need more than we think. One other encouragement, young men, young women for sure, but men are more apt to be leaders. Young men, dream the dreams of your father's visions. Run them over in your mind when you lay in bed and dream the dreams of your father's visions. Because this is a continuation of the faith. Because one day, very soon, your dreams will become your visions. One day, very soon. And that's a blessing. That's an encouragement because I see that happening. One day, they will become your vision. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and keep you from the snares of this world. Now, the last few verses, I just want to explain a little bit of the heart of God, heart of the Apostle Paul, and then bring it to a close. Apostle Paul he preached this in the first chapter, shared these truths, and it says, in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he says in verse 28, whom we preach, this is the Apostle Paul, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Then he says, wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And so, though I read 40 minutes of some burdens and some thoughts, had to think of that last verse. The Apostle Paul says, and not the last verse only, but he said, I've seen here that the dispensation of God was given to Paul for a purpose, and that purpose was to fulfill the word of God. And Paul was endeavoring to be faithful. But then at the last there he says, and that reason was that because he was a man that was reconciled to God and he desired to see other men be reconciled, that he could present men with him perfect to Jesus Christ. That was his burden. And then he said in the last, wherein do I also labor? Paul says, wherein, whereunto I also labor, he said, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So as we share these things together, God is working in us mightily. He works in us exactly how much we let him work in us. Every one of us, not because I spoke more today, but he's working in us as brothers and sisters. Because I strive, I labor striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I think we'll let off there for today. Feel free, if you have any thoughts to share. Some of those verses were a blessing in our life, and I pray that they could be an inspiration for you to be reconciled to God. First of all, in salvation, but maybe there's areas that need to be reconciled to God and your fellow man, husband, wife, parents, and children. Never put it off. It's not worth it. And so though there's some encouraging thoughts that we'd like to leave with you, may the Lord bless each of you. Turn the time over.